Bible to Job. And I realize that we've been looking at this gleanings from the life of Job several different angles. The first message, we just looked at Job's knowledge of God and used several passages to show that his knowledge of God was very enlightened, even without any scripture in that day. All he knew of God is what had been personally revealed to him. And a lot of what he believed had New Testament application. So we brought that out, that he had a very sound knowledge of God. And then we began to look at the character of Job, the kind of man that he was, and how God viewed Job. And as I thought about that, I thought, wow, I don't think I'd want to go through what Job did, but wouldn't it be wonderful to have the Lord say about you, "Have you considered my servant Brandon, a man that fears God and eschews evil, that's mature and perfect?" That was God's estimation as he spoke to Satan and really challenged Satan, if you will. And then last week, or a couple weeks ago, we looked at the calamities of Job. The different things that happened to him in rapid succession. And I dare say that none of us, in fact, probably if all of us would put all of our afflictions together, they probably wouldn't equal what happened to Job in one day. This one day, when everything he had, his possessions, his wealth, his family, his wife, everything was stripped of, his health, everything was taken from him. And so tonight, I want to look at the confession of Job. And I realize that what I'm going to cover tonight, I've dealt with a little bit when we looked at the knowledge of God that Job had and his character. But I want you to see what Job said immediately after all this came upon him. Because I think it's significant. Look at this in Job chapter 1 and verse 20. "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped." The reaction of Job to all the calamities is really remarkable. It's miraculous. How could one man endure so many extreme hardships? And the only way is through the all-sufficient grace of God. Now, the first thing that Job did, his first reaction, was a very natural reaction. It is the human condition in dealing with grief and sorrow. Job's first reaction was one of mourning over the loss of his children. He rent his mantle, he shaved his head, and these were common customs among the people of the East when they would lose a loved one, especially very suddenly. This is how they expressed outwardly their grief, their sorrow. It was, and this is something that you and I need to see. It is not at all improper or unwholesome to grieve over the loss of someone that we love. It's biblical. It's human. It's part of the condition. It's part of the way that you and I deal with the loss of people that we love. Death is a sorrowful thing. I mean, it has afflicted the human race ever since the fall of Adam. I can only imagine when Adam and Eve, after they fell in the Garden of Eden, how their hearts must have been just completely broken when Abel was killed by his brother Cain. I'm sure that they were overcome with sorrow. It is normal to grieve the loss of people that we love, that are near and dear. And it's part of the process. I've heard people say that time heals all wounds. Maybe eternity does. But there are certain things that happen in our life. I haven't experienced it yet. My mother and my dad have not passed on. I'm preparing myself, and I'm trying to prepare my kids for the loss of their grandparents. Because I realize that it's a matter of time, humanly speaking. But I don't know how you ever get over that grief. The loss of a mom or a dad, the loss of a child. This is something, or of a spouse. This is something that will be with you for the rest of your life. And my prayer is that God will help you in dealing with this. Because if we look at the example of Job, he grieved. He was sorrowful. He mourned over the loss of his children and his family. But he also understood the sovereignty of God in it all. He was able to maintain a proper attitude. The fact of the matter is, death is common. It happens to everyone this side of the rapture. We don't know the day, we don't know the hour, we don't know the circumstances, but you're going to lose people that you love. And you and I have to learn from the Word of God how to deal with that. And I think Job is a great example. In fact, I think he went over and beyond providing the right kind of example in the face of such loss. So remember, it's normal to grieve, to feel sorrowful, and to hurt. Then he fell, it says, he fell down upon the ground and worshiped God. You know, now to me, this is somebody that has such a relationship with God that he understands that all of his life, everything in his life is to glorify God. I believe this evidenced the fact that Job understood that. That his life, his possessions, his family, everything belonged to God. And he fell down and he began to worship the Lord. That'd be pretty difficult to do, wouldn't it? In the way in which this all came about. I remember, and all of you I'm sure have different circumstances, remembrances of people that you've lost and so on, but I can remember a friend of mine, Al Gormley, who was pastor at Bryan Station Baptist Church for 52 years. He lost his wife totally unexpectedly. Her name was Doris. She was very involved in every aspect of the ministry at Bryan Station. And the Lord took her unexpectedly. I think she might have had a bout of diabetes or things like that, but nobody saw it coming. One day, she passed away. She fell down in the kitchen floor and she was gone. Brother Gormley, him and his wife were inseparable. I mean, they went everywhere together. They did everything together. Wherever you saw him, you saw her. And I remember being at the funeral and how gracious God was to Brother Gormley. I remember people were weeping and he was standing there next to his wife. And when I went up to offer my condolences and tell him how sorry I was, he said, "You know what? This is the providence of God. I'm grieving, and this is something I'll probably never, ever recover from. But," he said, "the Lord gave me her, and I had so many good years with her, and the Lord took her away." And he said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Well, that left such a lasting impression on me. He was able to sorrow, yet not as others sorrow. He understood that his wife was in glory and that God had ordered it. As it is appointed unto man once to die, the day of your death is fixed. It's precise. There's nothing you can do to change it. You may be able to improve the quality of your life, but you can't add an hour to your life. It's been ordained by God. And I think this is one of the ways that you and I have to learn how to deal with loss, is to understand that God is in control. What a difference between how Brother Gormley reacted at the sudden, unexpected loss of his wife and how lost people often react. Just in the last 2 or 3 weeks, just out visiting, I've encountered 2 atheists who have railed on God because He didn't heal their spouse of cancer and they passed on. And my question to the second lady, because she actually engaged me and wanted to talk to me, I said, "Did you ever stop to think how many good years you had? Did you ever stop to think and thank God for all the blessed times that you had with your husband when he was in health?" That's the difference between how a lost person looks at the circumstances of life and how a saved person looks at it. You see, God's in control. Now, he began to worship. And that act is unexplainable to the carnal mind. John Gill had this comment. He worshiped God internally in the exercise of faith, hope, love, humility, patience, and he worshiped Him externally by praising Him and praying to Him, expressing Himself as in the next verse, "Afflictions when sanctified, humble good men. Cause them to lie low in the dust and bring them near to God, the throne of His grace. And instead of arraigning His providence and finding fault with His dealings, they adore His majesty and celebrate His perfections." That's how you respond. You adore the perfections of God. You thank Him for all the blessings that He loaded. I imagine whenever I have to do a funeral, this is what I encourage people to do. Cherish all the memories, the good memories, the good times, the blessed times that you had with that person. And don't ever lose that. Learn how to feast on that and rejoice in that and thank God for that. And I think that's what Job did. He worshiped God. Now, let's go on in verse 21. Again, this is Job's confession. He said, and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. Job recognized the sovereignty of God, not just as a doctrine, but he actually submitted to the sovereignty of God. He resigned himself to the circumstances that God had ordered in his life. He recognized the hand of God in providence and in his circumstances. And Job realized that he came into the world without anything. And it was God who gave him all his material wealth. It was God who gave him all the prosperity that he enjoyed. It was God who gave him a knowledge of the Holy One. He reasoned that if God had given all these things to him in the first place, he likewise had the absolute right to take it all away. And he didn't get bitter about it. Think about how you and I are. He didn't get bitter. Now, later on, when he's on the ash heap and his boils are painful and his friends are accusing him, he wished that he'd never been born. But you know what? We'd probably be a lot worse than that. But here, he said, Lord, I recognize your right to do with me and what I have as it pleases you. I recognize your sovereignty. I recognize your ownership of all things. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein. You don't own what you have. It comes from God. Whatever you have, you owe it to God. Job recognized it. And Job was praising God for the blessings that he enjoyed throughout his life rather than complaining about the loss of them. This is the positive reaction to affliction. But it's completely different than the way we react a lot of times. When trials come our way, when afflictions come our way, nothing compared to Job. What do we do? Lord, what? Why are you doing this? I deserve better than this. Why'd you take that? Why won't you give me this? When in reality, we came into this world with nothing. If you have anything, thank God for it. The Bible says, having food and raiment therewith to be content. Every one of us here got a whole lot more than food and raiment. Now, I'm not going to go through your closets, but I know you got more than one suit of clothes to wear, one outfit. I can probably open up your cupboards and you've got food enough if you wanted to make it last for quite a while. But even beyond that, you got a car that runs. You got a roof over your head. You don't have to chop firewood. Does anybody here still have to chop firewood to make sure that they got a fire going in the winter? No. We're pretty blessed. Job focused on what God's blessings rather than focusing on the negatives, which we are prone to do. And he thanked God for it. Before we begin to rail on God for what we perceive that He hasn't done, we should praise Him for all the undeserved blessings He's already given us. As Christians, we should praise and worship God under all circumstances, whether good or bad, knowing that God has a purpose behind the trial. Ephesians 5:20 and 21 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. W.H. Green commented on this passage. He said, every pang that now rends his heart is a fresh proof how gracious God has been. The magnitude of the loss determines the value of the gift, and the depth of his anguish enhances his grateful sense of the goodness of the giver. The more deeply he mourns the treasures which have been taken away from him, the higher is his appreciation of the gracious kindness of Him who bestowed them. This is where we need to get in our lives, where we can thank God for everything. For trials, afflictions, hardships, good times, and what we perceive to be as bad times. Because God is working in us both the will and the do of His good pleasure. And Job blessed the name of the Lord. Verse 22, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Then after his health was taken away, and his wife said to Job, look what she said. Wouldn't this be an awful thing for your spouse to say this to you at the point of this kind of loss and sorrow and grief and affliction? After he lost everything and then his health went downhill. Verse 9, his wife said of chapter 2, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Wow. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Even at his lowest state, he was able to provide the right kind of example to his helpmeet, to his wife, who for all intents and purposes said, well, you just curse God and die and forget about everything. And Job rebuked her, but he provided her the right kind of example. Job blessed the name of God. He recognized the perfection of God. He saw a most profound truth that is rarely touched upon in our day. Listen carefully. That God is right in all that He does. Job found no fault with God for permitting him to go through the fiery trial of faith. I'm always careful when people are going through valleys and trials and afflictions to do my very best not to be like Job's three friends or his wife, who railed on Job, who accused Job. You know, that's not what you do to people when they're going through it. Even if they're being chastened, best thing you can do is to say, I'll be praying for you. I'm going to go to God for you. Is there anything else I can do? But don't rail on them. They're already dealing with plenty of difficulty. Job understood that God was right. You know, if you get nothing else from this whole little series we've done, I hope that you get, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Yes. There are going to be times in your life where you're going to feel like, and you may not give voice to it, but you may not say it out loud, but you're going to feel like you're getting shorted, that you deserve better. I'm going to tell you something from somebody that knows a little bit. I always go back to the fact of what I am and what I deserve. I'm a horrible sinner who's broken the laws of God. Yes, I've been saved for 37 years. If I were to die tonight, I'm going to heaven. I don't deserve any of the grace. I don't deserve the good family that I have, the healthy children and grandchildren that God's blessed me with. I don't deserve the material things that He's given me. I don't deserve any of it. In reality, the only thing I really deserve is an eternity in the lake of fire for my sins. I mean, if you were to really just boil my whole life down to its very basic thing and say, what do you deserve? I can confess before you, I deserve hell. When you can understand that, everything over and above that, you can begin to see how blessed you really are. Your sins have been forgiven. You have the Word of God, the Spirit of God dwelling in you. You got people that love you and care about you and praying for you. You got a church you can go to. You live in the freest country in the entire world. Learn to focus more on all the grace that's been bestowed on you rather than on the things you perceive that you deserve. And remember back, what do you really deserve? Nothing but the judgment of God. Everything else is way above that. I got one more sermon on this. And that's how to apply what we've learned. How to do it, how to apply it practically in our lives. And we'll get on to that next Wednesday, God willing.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer.